Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it. This is the second point that I'm going to make here. Most people's comfort zones, the areas in which they feel normal, they feel ready to go. This is something that they're used to doing. They practice for it. They're ready for it. They're prepared. Most people's comfort zones are small and narrow.
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
You already know by now that my new book, Work on Your Game, Using the Pro Athlete Mindset to Dominate in Business, Sports, and Life, is out. And we both know that you're an audio listener because you're listening to my podcast. How would you like to get the audio experience of my new book, Work on Your Game, completely for free? Here's how. Go to DreAllDay.com/review. That's DreAllDay.com/review to leave a review on Amazon of my book, Work on Your Game. Take a screenshot of that review and send it to me. My email's contact@DreAllDay.com. You can DM me on Instagram, send me a snap, tweet, whatever way you need to get it to me. I will reply and give you the free audiobook version of my new book, Work on Your Game. Again, go to Amazon. That's DreAllDay.com/review, or just look up my book on Amazon if you prefer. Leave a review of the book. Take a screenshot of your review. Send it to me, contact@DreAllDay.com, or DM me or snap me or @reply me. I will give you the audiobook completely for free. You're already listening to my podcast every day. If you haven't read the book yet, you don't have the physical or the digital, so you don't know what to say, say something about my podcast. Say something about some way that I have provided value to you in your life. Leave that as the review. Screenshot it. Send it to me, contact@DreAllDay.com. The link again, DreAllDay.com/review to review my book, Work on Your Game. Screenshot it, send it to me. You get the audiobook for free. One more time. That's DreAllDay.com/review. Let's get to it. You need this book in your life. Work on Your Game, Using the Pro Athlete Mindset to Dominate in Business, Sports, and Life. Audiobook is yours. All you got to do is leave that review. DreAllDay.com/review. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day, to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you have expected to achieve, you just haven't gotten it yet. And on top of all this, you're going to get that personal initiative, a big batch of this personal initiative. Go get an energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. We put all this together. And what you get is the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is making the game uncomfortable for the opposition. This topic is definitely coming from a sporting perspective. Those of you who play sports or in any kind of sport where you have direct competition with your opponent in a way that you can maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe just, I don't know, spiritually, psychologically do things to try to get your opponent out of their comfort zone, which will make it hopefully more advantageous for you to win that competition. But this can also be applied in the business sense. You may just have to think metaphorically how you can apply these things. The same way an athlete coming out of sports got to figure out how to take that athletic experience and make it work for them outside of playing their sport, even while you're still playing the sport, when you're not on the field or on the court. Or a person who's in the business world, you want to get into the sporting world. Or anytime you come from one industry to another, how can you take what you learned or what you were good at in that space and apply it there? So everything I'm talking about here today, again, is coming from the sporting perspective, but you can apply this across all fields, making the game uncomfortable. I had a college coach, basketball coach, who once said to the team before practice or before the season, is that my goal in practices is to make all of you as uncomfortable as possible. I want to put you on as many uncomfortable positions as possible because I want to find out, first of all, I want you to be ready for the game when it's going to be uncomfortable and things are not going to always go in your favor. And also, so as the coach, he could find out what everybody was made of, what everyone was capable of before we got to the game situation, because he didn't want to find out, oh, this player can't do this or this player can't do that. He didn't want to find that out during the game. He wanted to know that ahead of time so he knew how to deploy his players to put them in the best possible position to help the team win and to win against opposition. going back to our point here, to win against opposition in life, any kind of opposition, you don't necessarily have to be better than whatever it is or whomever it is you're going up against. Maybe if you could just get them out of their comfort zone, you can beat them. If you can just make the game uncomfortable, the situation uncomfortable for them in a way in which they can't adjust, they can't make that in-game quote-unquote adjustment right then in that moment. Maybe they can figure it out, but they won't figure it out till 2 hours after the game or 3 weeks later or years later. Someone looks back on it and realizes what exactly it was that you did. So to win, you don't always have to be better than your opponent. But just face it, sometimes you're going to go up against people who are just better than you. They have more skill than you, more talent than you, more resources than you. Is it impossible to win in those situations? It's absolutely not impossible. It's very possible for you to win. And one of the ways you can do that is to be able to put that opponent in an uncomfortable position. I'm going to tell you exactly how you would need to do that and maybe what tools you need to add to your own game to be able to execute this strategy. Point number one, today's topic again, making the game uncomfortable for your opposition. Choose your terrain. If any of you have not read the book, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, that's S-U-N-T-Z-U. If you have not read that book, I suggest you read it. Even though the book is, again, is a metaphorical account, it is talking about war and strategy and battles and fighting and killing. But the book is actually a business book. It's a strategy book, which you can use. And all of us are, just by being alive, you're in the business. So read that book, The Art of War. And many of the strategies and principles shared in that book have been broken down and shared in other people's books, people's podcasts, blog posts, et cetera, over the years. And they don't even mention The Art of War, but a lot of it comes from The Art of War. It's a classic book on strategy. So if you haven't read that book, read that book. And the first point, choosing your terrain, comes straight from The Art of War. Straight from it. One of the points that Sun Tzu, the author, who was a war general, made is that if you know yourself well and you know your opponent well, then you're going to be in pretty good shape. But if you know yourself, your opponent, and you know the terrain, you're able to choose the terrain, then damn near guaranteeing yourself victory. And he didn't say it in so many words, but again, you need to read the book to get it exactly how Sun Tzu said it. He said it better than I could say it. But choosing your terrain, if you can choose the format in which the competition is going to happen, you can choose when and where it happens. If you put yourself in control of that situation, you probably have a better chance of defeating your opponent because you're not letting your opponent dictate the terms of engagement. You're dictating the terms of engagement. One of them is the terrain. And what I mean by terrain, I'll give you an example. I heard Kobe Bryant say that when he played against a player, he had a certain guy guarding him and he realized he would, let's say, post that guy up or drive to the basket. And he realized that that player liked playing with contact. So if Kobe got real physical, maybe throw a couple elbows, draw a foul, some hard fouls get tossed around. And he saw that the player that was guarding him enjoyed that contact situation. Kobe wouldn't play that way anymore. He wouldn't play physically against a guy who liked playing physically. And it wasn't because Kobe was incapable of playing physically. It's not because Kobe didn't lift weights, not because he didn't have muscles. He wouldn't play physically against a player who liked to play physical basketball because that's what the other guy liked. He didn't want to play into that guy's hands. So he would start playing a different way. He would play in a way where there had to be space between them, where maybe Kobe could use his speed or his quickness or maybe screens from his opponents or become a facilitator. He wasn't always usually a facilitator. Usually he'd find a way to score. But his whole point was, I'm not going to play into the hands of what that other guy likes to do. He wanted to do what the other guy didn't like to do and beat him with that thing. And Kobe, coincidentally, he had enough skills to where if the physical game was exactly what the opponent liked, it didn't just become my strength against your strength. Kobe had other skills in his bag that he could say, okay, this guy likes to play physical. I'm not going to do that. Let's do something different. He's really quick. He likes to play in the open floor. I'm not going to do that. Let me play physical against this guy. But Kobe would have all these different counter moves, so to speak, that he could go to based on what he saw in his opponent. So it was a psychological thing as well as a physical thing. If you notice what I'm saying here, Kobe said, I wasn't going to just try to beat this guy, even if he was really good at something. Kobe himself, I'm not just going to try to outdo this guy at the same thing that this guy thinks he's good at. I'm going to take him into a space where he's completely uncomfortable. I'm choosing the terrain. And I'm comfortable in that terrain. He's not. Now I really have him where I want him. Now I can just pick him apart and defeat him. Now he's not even going to think that he has a chance to win because he's in a space that he's not comfortable being in. This is choosing your terrain. This is the art of war that Sun Tzu described. This is one of the strategies. Choosing the way that the competition is going to happen, or at least choosing the terrain or the time and space of the competition, which could unsettle your opponent. Now, this would also require you knowing who your opponent is. You got to know, who is this person? What do they like? What do they do? And maybe if you have to face them sight unseen, once you get into the situation, you can see. Because as I just explained to you, Kobe would get into the game and he would try something, see how his opponent responded to it and say, okay, my opponent likes this. Okay, I'm not going to do this anymore because they like that. My opponent doesn't like this right here. Okay, I'm going to keep doing this because I see they don't like it. I can see they're uncomfortable. I can see they're kind of a fish out of water in this space. So now I'm going to use that against them. So this is where the game is much more psychological than it is physical. Because like I said, Kobe had the physical skill to do the thing, but he chose not to do it simply because he wanted to get the psychological edge, which is much more important than the physical edge. If you can handle the psychology of your opponent and dominate them psychologically, then the physical part will handle itself. Point number two, today's topic is making the game uncomfortable, any game, for the opposition you face. Number two, now to the point that I just made, explaining what Kobe shared there, you may be thinking, what if the opponent that you're facing is just as comfortable in the terrain that you've chosen? Then you choose a different terrain and they're comfortable there. Then you choose a different terrain and they're also comfortable there. Well, if that happens, then is this going to be skill against skill? And or you're screwed and you're just going to get your ass kicked. However, this is the second point that I'm going to make here. Most people's comfort zones, the areas in which they feel normal, they feel ready to go. This is something that they're used to doing. They practice for it. They're ready for it. They're prepared. Most people's comfort zones are small and narrow. They have a small, tiny space in which they're comfortable. You have them doing these three things, they're comfortable. Anything outside of that, if there are 100 things that could be done, these three, that person's comfortable. The other 97, not so much. Most people's comfort zones are pretty much just like that. Small, narrow spaces. There are a few things that they're comfortable with doing, and everything else they've either never done before, tried it and weren't so good at it, or they just want to completely avoid it at all costs. There's not much too many people's zones of comfort. They're not very wide, which means, unlike what I said in the Kobe example, most people, when they're taken out of their comfort zone, they don't have the counter moves for the contingencies. So unlike what you may be thinking, well, what if the person is great at this? What if they're just great at everything? Most people aren't great at everything. Most people don't have counter moves for their strengths. So when you see a person playing to their strengths, and most of us in life, we usually spend most of our lives playing to our strengths, doing the things that we're good at, the things that we're comfortable with, the things that we're getting some kind of return on, some kind of ROI, whether that's energy, attention, money, happiness, joy, focus, fans, whatever it happens to be. Most people don't have a counter for that. If they couldn't do that thing or those few things that they're comfortable with and they're getting the high returns on, they don't have anything else to go to. They would pretty much just be sitting around playing with their thumbs because they wouldn't have anything else. They don't have the other skills developed, first of all, and they may not even want to develop those skills because it would be uncomfortable to develop them. Any of you who's developed a skill in life, I think that's everybody, you know that it's kind of uncomfortable at first because you're not good at it. You don't know what you're doing, especially if there's a social aspect to it, if you're being watched or you're around a bunch of other people who are way more comfortable than you because they have way more experience than you. That's uncomfortable for people to even go through that, knowing that they're the worst, quote unquote, in the room, the worst in that space, the person who doesn't know anything while everybody else knows something. Most people, by the time we reach adulthood, don't ever want to be in that situation again. Most people are very uncomfortable being the least skilled or the least knowing or the least experienced in a room when there's a room right next door where they could be the man or the woman, if you understand what I'm saying. They'll stay in that room for the rest of their lives, the room where they're the number one person or at least one of the best, rather than going to a room where they're a nobody who knows nothing and has no skills and has to learn everything from zero, because it's kind of humbling. It's kind of the best word I can give for it. It's just uncomfortable for people to be in that space. So people just don't develop these counter moves. They don't develop other ways of doing things for which their main strength, whatever that main strength is or what people think is their main strength, has been taken away or combat it in some way that they want to go to a different terrain. Most people are just only comfortable in one or a few terrains in life. If you are giving a speech, for example, whether you're giving a speech in a classroom, you're giving a speech in Madison Square Garden in front of 30,000 people, and you have some slides that are going to be part of your presentation, and the slide projector breaks 5 minutes before you go on stage, but they're not going to reschedule your talk, can you still give a speech without your slides? Can you still keep the audience captivated and still get your point across? And still have them leaving like, damn, that was a great speech that I just heard that woman give, or what that man said, his remarks were excellent. Can you still do it even though your plan has broken down? Even though the battle got moved to a different terrain, I mean, you're still on the stage, but the presentation you thought you could give, you can't because now you don't have the slides to go with it. Can you still give a good speech? If you're a basketball player and you like shooting jump shots, and you're just a great jump shooter, and you've been killing every team you played against this year with your jump shot, but the opponent you face in today's game, they read the scouting report on you, they watched some video on you, so they know the plays your team runs, they know where you get your shots from, and they know that if you get open for a little bit, you're going to shoot that jump shot, and they read the scouting report, and they play in a way that keeps you from doing the things you've been doing all season. What else do you got? Can you dribble? Can you pass? Can you play defense? Can you grab some rebounds? Can you be a factor in the game when the main thing that you've been doing that's been working is taken away from you? What can you do then? If you're playing this outdoor sport in really nice weather, but the day of the game is cold and raining, can you still win the game? In the NFL, sometimes I hear teams say, or announcers, analysts say, well, if you got a team that usually plays indoors, they play in a domed stadium, but then they have to play a road game somewhere where the weather is really bad. Let's say it's snowing or it's raining or it's really cold outside. Are we sure that this team that usually plays in a dome, are they going to be ready to play outside? Or a team that plays in a nice weather place like Arizona or Southern California or Florida, and they have to go play in Green Bay or outdoors in, I don't know, Seattle, New York, somewhere where the weather's cold in the wintertime. Can this team still perform? We're not quite sure. Sometimes they're not sure if that team will be able to perform when the terrain gets changed on them. So this second point is, most people's comfort zones are very small. They're not capable of stepping outside of what they're used to, what they're comfortable with, and doing something else and still being as effective and as successful. So the question for you is, you need to take from that is, how large is your comfort zone? How many different areas of terrain can you still perform at a high level on? And point number three leads us right into this third point. Today's topic, again, is making the game uncomfortable for the opposition. What this means all for you is that you need to diversify your game. For two reasons, you need to diversify. One reason is you may be facing an opponent who's listening to this and or who understands what I'm saying here. They're going to switch up the terrain on you. They're going to see what you like doing, and then they're going to stop doing that. They're going to take you away from doing the thing you like doing and seeing if you can do anything else. Are you good at anything else? And you don't want to be holding an empty bag at that point, because then you're probably in for taking a loss that day or taking a loss in that situation or that game or that project, whatever it is you're dealing with. That's one reason why you want to diversify the game. And the other reason is so you can do this to your opponent, because the whole topic here is making the game uncomfortable for the opposition. You don't want them making the game uncomfortable for you. You want to make the game uncomfortable for them. The only way you can do that is to diversify your game enough so that you have enough different ways that you can beat an opponent so that, okay, I can't beat them this way, the way that I thought I would. Okay, how about this way? Oh, that doesn't work. How about this way? Oh, that doesn't work. How about this way? Okay, that one works. But you got to have these ways. If you only have one and the opponent has four, then they're going to end up beating you. If they're understanding everything that I'm saying here today, they might be listening to this at the same time that you're listening to it. These are the two reasons why you got to diversify your game. So you can't alter the playing field against an opponent and win if those alterations that you incorporate, if those alterations make you uncomfortable, then you're the one who's going to lose. If you're a basketball player and you like to play physical and your opponent likes to play physical and you say, okay, rather than that, how about we take the game into some open space and I'll just use my quickness, but you don't really have any quickness and you can't dribble and your footwork's bad, but your defender's quick, they can dribble and they have good footwork, you're in trouble. Now you got a problem. So you got to make sure your game is diverse enough that it's you forcing the discomfort on the opposition rather than the opposition or the situation forcing the discomfort on you. Anything you do to make the opposition uncomfortable or any plan you have for making your opposition uncomfortable, you got to make sure you're actually good at that. You can't just be average at it or so-so or non-existent at that thing and then decide you're going to move the competition to that terrain, because if your opponent's good at it, then now you got a problem. Now you're in trouble. So you got to make sure you expand your skills, continue to work on your game, add to your bag, as we like to say in sports. And for those of you who are not into sports, understand that your bag just means the different skill sets that you have. They may not even be related to each other in many ways, but the more skills that you have, the more various ways in which you can be successful, in which you can get something done, the more different terrains you can step onto and be effective, the more ways you can make something happen, the more ways you can have an impact, the more ways you can win. Let's recap today's topic, which is making the game uncomfortable for the opposition. Again, this is coming from a sports perspective, but this can apply to any area of life the same way that the book that I recommended to you, The Art of War by Sun Tzu. If you have not read that, it's a strategy book. Read that book, and you can see my full reading list at dreallday.com/read, R-E-A-D. Number one, choose your terrain. Kobe Bryant said when he sees a player likes contact, Kobe's not going to keep feeding this guy with more contact just because the guy likes it. That's the only reason he would stop doing it. He would play a different way because he didn't want to play into what the other guy liked. He wanted to psychologically get that guy on some uncomfortable ground because he knew it would be much easier to beat him that way. Number two, most people's comfort zones, to go hand in hand with what Kobe said, most people's comfort zones are small, narrow. There are only a few things they're comfortable with doing. You take them outside of that space and they're fish out of water. Or they're a polar bear on ice, as they say, which means most people, you take them out of that space, they don't have a counter move. They don't have a counter. They don't have another way they can be good. They don't have a contingency plan. If you're giving a speech and a slide projector breaks, can you still give a speech? If you like shooting jump shots, but the opponent is crowding you so they don't let you shoot a jump shot because they know you're a good shooter, can you dribble? Can you pass? Can you play defense? If you train to play outside in nice weather, but the weather is cold and nasty, can you still perform? Point number three, what this means is you got to diversify your game. For two reasons. Number one, so that you can make your opponent uncomfortable, but also number two, so your opponent who's also listening to this episode, they can't make you uncomfortable. Because whichever one of you runs out of ways, whichever one of you has fewer counter moves, if that opponent understands the psychological side of the game, and more people are, the more that they listen to the Work on Your Game podcast, you're going to have a problem on your hands. So make sure you are always expanding your skills, working on your game, diversifying your abilities. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. You and I both know that you don't need more information in your life. You don't need more content in your life. What you need is more structure, more systems, more processes for how to take all this information and make it into something real. That's why I created the Game Group. It is the only direct mentoring and direct coaching that I'm offering where I take my systems, my processes, my strategies. I open up my vault and show you exactly how I do it in the business, personal development, basketball skill, and professional basketball areas. You choose your area of focus and you're going to get structured how-to systems and processes and my complete content vault, live trainings, guides, everything you need to do exactly what you're doing. Make sure you're doing it right. Avoid all the pitfalls and avoid all the mistakes. This is all part of the Game Group. Get full details and all the information you need to get started at DreAllDay.com/membership. That's DreAllDay.com/membership. All the live trainings, direct coaching from me, direct mentoring, get all your questions answered, get all your challenges addressed, get the systems and processes for making sure the information you have is being applied the right way towards the goals that you have and the outcomes that you wish to achieve in the Game Group membership. That's at DreAllDay.com/membership. One more time, DreAllDay.com/membership. You just listened to an entire episode of my podcast. If you've been getting value from this podcast, the 1,000+ episodes that I've been putting out, or this is just your first one, please go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review of my show. It helps me out. It helps the audience out so they know what kind of show this is before they listen to it, if they want to kind of get a taste for it before they commit to listening. And it lets me know that I'm giving value to you every single day on this podcast. So anywhere you can leave a review, please go leave a review. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. I'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Work on your game.